Amen. Thank you, band. Thank you so much for hosting His presence so well. It's good to be home, everybody. I feel like, you know, I stay in East London, so I usually go home like, you know, two times or three times a year. These years, last few years, a little bit less. But that feeling of like, I'm home, and you're like, it's just a different feeling, you know. You know, you're no longer in your day to day, but it also still feels like home. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor Deeps, and thank you, Ronnie. Thank you to the eldership team for having me here. I think I shared at Awaken. I still have no idea how I got to where I am. Preaching the gospel, and I usually say, even to a predominantly English or Afrikaans people group, like, what is going on, Lord? Like, but it's just such a privilege for me to be walking in the will of God for my life. That's how I determine success, to be walking in the will of God for my life. In the season that He calls me to. I'm going to pray for us in a moment. But I just wanted to bring to your attention something quickly that the Lord laid on my heart as we were worshiping. Something that looks like a Kronos moment to you guys. You've got marching march and it's on your calendar, right? And it looks like, it's just something on the calendar. I actually feel is a Kairos moment for this church. And I'm not just saying that, but I'm saying that because of the way it hit me as I was preparing. I said to Jandri, I'm like, I regret at the moment I said yes to preaching this sermon. The minute, like, it's not often that when God sort of appoint something, then He starts speaking immediately. And I've had a rough few weeks because of this sermon. Not because of the devil or whatever. I don't even give him mind at this stage, but because of what the Lord was doing in my own heart. So if y'all aren't grabbing this Kairos moment, I'm grabbing it for myself because I will never be the same. Hallelujah! Guys, the song that's been on my heart as I've been preparing for this sermon, and I haven't been okay for a while now. Every time I'm driving to work, I'm wailing like a whale. Guys, it's not hormones. There's a lot of things that I could cry about. But in this instance, every time I would be driving to work, every time I'm having quiet time, I'm just being washed by the mercy of God. Washed and washed and washed by the mercy of God. And the song that's been on my heart is the one that's, I think, Shane and Shane. There is more. It talks about just how there's so much more mercy. Our sins are many, but His mercy is more. That He's stronger than darkness. His mercy are new every morning. Our sins, they are many, but His mercy is more. And I felt so strongly in my heart that this is a mercy moment for this church. It's a mercy moment for you and me when we are able to stop and actually look at what the Lord really wants to do in us and realign ourselves to that which God is doing in and through us. His mercy is more. That's my message. Actually, this morning I felt that's my assignment. That yes, you've been falling and stumbling. Yes, you've been getting it wrong. Yes, there are many times where you've chosen to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we've ignored the word over and over again. Yes, But his mercy is more. His mercy is inviting us to align this morning. I thought about my own journey. It's like I didn't start off praying for the sick in my workplace. I just did the bare minimum, all that I knew to do, which was crying and praying with my colleagues in the parking lot. Like, there were no fancy fire prayers, commanding prayers. I was just present. When a colleague would come up to me because there's something that they needed to express or share, I would sit my bum down on that chair and I would listen and I would pray and I would encourage them because that's all I knew to do then. But his mercy is more. That he began to find full expression in me. That now I know how to respond. I know a bit better now. I know when to sit down and look my colleague in the eye and pray with her. I know when that young intern needs a conversation because she thinks she likes someone. This person is leading her astray from what God has for her. And you just have to sit down and have a conversation. I know what it means now when I have to sit and command a thing. Because the wrath and just the holy anger of God is inside of me and says, it can't be this way. Guys, there's no formula. There's a framework. I think in frameworks, the Bible gives us all the tools that we need. It gives us a framework, the boundaries of what God has dictated for us. And I've resolved in my life that I will never settle less than the fullness of what God has for me. Fullness of Christ in me, the hope of glory. I was thinking, you guys had the unfortunate or fortunate pleasure of watching me grow up, right? From being single and life was just, so amazing. And then it's still amazing now, but just a lot more responsibilities. But to be able to stand and to say, God, my resolve then is still my resolve now. I choose to not settle less than your fullness in my life. You will find full expression in my life, but that means surrender. That means surrender. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning that our sins may be many, but your mercy is more this morning. And that your mercy is inviting us into a deeper fellowship, into a deeper partnership with you. Come and reconfigure our hearts. Reconfigure our entire lives, Lord. That you would be glorified in us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. That he would find full expression in you, in your unique identity, and in the purposes that he has for your life. One of the things that set me so free in how I relate in the workplaces when the Lord told me how he sees me. He says, Siko, one of the challenges that you have in the workplace is that you do not know what you carry. And then obviously, then I'm like, God, what do I carry? Like, you're right. I have no clue. I mean, at that stage, I was already laying my hands on the sick, seeing headaches healed, all these things, and seeing ankles healed. But he said, Siko, the reason also you default so easy to the supernatural is because you no longer find relevance in the natural, how I have wired you. Those two things go together. Because if you actually realize in the workplace, you're showing up mostly as yourself more than the preacher or the healer or the gospel share, whatever you call yourself. You show up as Siko 90% of the time. So what is it that you carry? What needs to find expression in and through your life as you walk into that office? So I asked the Lord, what is it that I carry? Then he said to me, Siko, you carry joy. It's like, oh, seriously, Lord? Like, but then I couldn't dispute it, as you can see, like, I'm like, Lord, you're right. And the Lord has taken me on this amazing journey on just showing me the power of joy. Guys, joy is powerful, but that's another sermon. My goodness. You heard it this morning. It was for the joy set before him that he endured that cross. In my mind, I'm starting to say, like, joy. God, how can you lay almost the foundation of the cross on joy? Like, what? Had it not been for that joy, I don't know. The power of joy. We're going to need it as a church. In these end times, if we want to go through the things that God has ordained for us and do it well, we're going to need a whole lot of joy. All right. And then he said to me, Siko, the other thing that you bring is peace. I'm like, really, Lord? But when you think about it, guys, we need peace. We need men and women of peace in the workplace. Those environments are so stressed out, competitive, toxic, all these words. We need men and women who carry Christ, who is our peace. And then he said, Siko, the other thing that you carry when you walk into a room is wisdom. May God give us solutions and blueprints to solve situations in our workplaces, in our families, in the church. We need his wisdom. And as he was taking me through all of that, I think sometime during the course of that week, we had a coaching feedback session. So with coaching circles, you've got other coaches basically being coached together with you. So it's like a coaching huddle, coaching kumbaya type of vibes, right? And for some reason, the exercise that particular week was, okay, coaches, can you give each other a bit of feedback on what would make this particular coach a good coach? I'm like, oh, okay, great. This is awesome. I love exhortation. I love encouragement. I love words of affirmation. So that, I was like, I wasn't even thinking too deeply about it. I just thought, this is good. It's going in the right direction. And then the first person says to me, you know what, Siko? There's always so much laughter around you. has always so much love that we're always canning ourselves when you're in the room. And I think just your humor would be something that you bring so beautifully into your coaching sessions. Bing, my antennas. I'm like, God is speaking. Because right now, he was telling me, Siko, this is what you carry. And this lady right here is confirming, Siko, you actually carry joy. She didn't use those exact same words, but I knew exactly where she was going. And immediately, I'm so focused. I'm like, give me the next one. I know how my daddy rolls. He does not start what he does not finish. Give me the next one, please. The next one's like, yeah, Siko. What I love now, this lady was in my team, and she was saying, the funny thing is we struggle to fight around you. Like, it's very awkward to, like, you know, like, get on each other's throats and stuff when we're around you. And you're, like, such a good mediator. It's like, peace. Come on, Jesus. God himself telling you that this is what he thinks of you. And then the last one, the other lady said, now this was one of our nursing exec at the time. She's like, you know what, Siko? I hear so many good things about you in the business. Like, people have so much respect for you in the business. But what I think I've heard the most about you is just your ability to tie in, like, theory and practice and pull it together in a way that makes sense for our clients. I'm like, well, that sounds like wisdom to me. Hallelujah. May God start to download to you what it is that you carry. I work with students now every day almost. And one of these things that they're always thinking, am I going to be a good doctor? I'm not smart enough. That's always the first thing. I just feel like I'm barely making it through in terms of my studies. Other doctors, other students are so smart, this and that. I was like, just park that. Do you understand that you may not actually be called to be the smartest doctor in the room? Let that sink in. But what I do want you to go do is sit before the Lord and allow him to tell you then what it is that you carry into the room. Don't worry about whether you've got all the books smart or not. Don't worry about all these other things. First, hear from the Lord what he says about you. And then everything else comes after. So to be mindful of how God has wired you. There are things that we're born with, or things that God has placed inside of us that come naturally, that he wants to sort of restore and amplify. But then there are also other things that we're also born with, or things that come naturally, that he's actually not so impressed about. Which is why you can't give me the excuse that, no, my personality does not allow for A, B, and C. Because God is in the business of conforming us to his original image of who he has called us to be, not your original image. So you may have only known yourself as someone that doesn't like speaking to people, but who does God say you are? Now that's another story. I haven't even started with my sermon. I share these things because his mercy is more. God has a custom-made journey for you. These things he showed me over time. I didn't just go into the workplace knowing A, B, and C. I had to walk with God. I had to partner with him and step out that he would begin to teach me all these things. His mercy is more. God has a dream for your workplace. Do you believe it? God has a dream for the people in your workplace. And you are his entrance strategy. You are his plan. I can't even say I've heard of workplaces where God just decides to just barge in and manifest himself sovereignly. I don't know, DB, maybe you are the master consultant. Maybe you've heard stories. But as far as I know, God has chosen to partner with man. Not that he can't do it. Not that if you actually partner with him and set that foundation that he won't do it. Guys, we're not putting God in a box. In fact, I would, come on, Jesus. I would love to see that. Actually, when I really think about it, they say, you know, God is actually moving in this building, guys. It just, you know, the consuming fire, the bush started burning, the building started burning, and it, come on, Jesus. That's what I'm about. But God, in his sovereignty, chooses to partner with you and me. Hallelujah. His heart is to fill every space, invade every space and fill every heart. And that includes people in your workplace, just in case you were wondering. Every space and every heart includes the people in your workplace. Habakkuk talks about how the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. That's how I know God wants to fill every space and every heart. Another reason I know is that the word of God, when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, he says, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come and manifest here on the earth. Where's your workplace, guys? It's on the earth. Come on. The people you are ministering to in your workplace, guys, they are on the earth. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. His last words before he ascends, he says, you shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. For me, that includes your workplace. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's Mark 16. All creation includes that colleague that you don't like. All creation includes that colleague that you feel like is a bit untight. Or in fact, you feel like that colleague has it all together, right? So many people that we know, by at face value, we feel like they've got everything together. You're sure they've had Jesus encounters and visions and he's like been in their room. Meanwhile, that's just us regarding people in the flesh. Your boss needs Jesus. He is part of all creation. The word of God speaks about how all creation is groaning. Groaning. For the manifestation of the sons. All creation includes your colleagues. What I felt to focus on specifically today was partnership with God. the topic of partnership, both in the New Testament Greek. The word for partnership and fellowship is mengelt. Gemengelt, gemeng. What's the word? Is that similar? Close enough. Koinonia. This means to share together in a partnership. So when we talk partnership, we're talking about a relationship between parties where people share a responsibility in a common activity towards a certain or a common goal. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's relationship, there's responsibility, there's an activity, and there's a goal. Partnership. So God actually invites us into a relationship that overflows into a partnership. Yes, it's a relationship first before it is us doing activities and things for God. But if you are a son, not a baby, a son, you will recognize that you can't pull away one from the other because the two go hand in hand. The word is one. Koinonia, fellowship, partnership, it's one thing. Which is why we as sons and daughters, this is my plea, guys, we need to outgrow this whole thing of simply fellowshipping with God and also move towards a partnership with Him where we see His kingdom come. He can never find full expression in you if you limit Him to your times of fellowship. In my own life, I realized that the more I stepped into the secret place, the more He led me out. I was baffled. I wrote on my journal, God, it seems, because I was picking this habit up. I'm like, what is going on here? The more I'm pressing into you, the more you lead me out. I started to recognize that what is inside of me naturally wants to find expression outside of me. When I got a hang of these two things, I realized that I am missing out on a whole, you know, just, I don't know, part of who God says I am if I just focus on intimacy and I don't witness. Those things go together. So, when it comes to koinonia, when it comes to this fellowship slash partnership thing, because Jesus, in His wisdom, decides that He wants us to be partakers and sharers together with Him, He automatically upgrades us to co-partners and co-heirs. Hallelujah. With Him. So that we would actually work His work here on the earth. It's mind-boggling. Like, Lord, who am I? Who is man that You would be mindful of him? Number one, we were failing at just being human and fellowshipping. Next thing, by Your sovereign power and grace and what You did on the cross, You elevate us back to the original intention. As in Genesis, we were called to have dominion. Hallelujah. We were called to co-create with God. and in his kindness and mercy, he restored us back to the original mandate. There's more than just your quiet time with the Lord. There's a time where even partnering with God is so sweet. It is for freedom that he set us free. It's not so that we can go around doing things and running around like headless chickens. But if you start partnering with God and you start tasting the sweetness of partnering with him, because what happens is that you have no idea what you're doing. So first things first, Dad, what's happening here? The conversation starts from morning to night because you're figuring it out the whole day long. Lord, are you really saying this? Really, Lord? Yes, you can do it. You can do it, girl. No, Dad, no, maybe ask someone else. There's this sweet place in partnership. Come on. You don't even know what's happening, but you're like, he knows, so you have to lean on the one that does. Dad, are you sure? Like, no, I don't think I can do that. Girl, I know you can. Have you read my word lately? No, Dad, I didn't. There's a sweet place in partnering with him, guys. That's why I almost had a mental breakdown when I had to outgrow being a baby in like my walk with the Lord. Because then I'm traumatized, like, God, like, now why do you expect me to go out there? I just want to be here, like, this is where I want to be. But I did not know of that sweet place in partnering with him, where I get to figure it out with him. Where faith actually becomes more of an act of surrender than it is an act of, I command you. You literally just, Lord, I command you, because clearly I don't have any power. Like, there's this realization, this switch, that it's Christ in you. And that's why I desire partnership for each and every one of us. Because there are things and conversations and treasures we are missing out on in our walk with God if we don't take that risk. There are things in my life, I've made it a life's mission. And I feel like it's from the heart of God because I stepped out and took a risk in an area, whether I'm praying for the sick and this, and it didn't happen. So I go back to God. Lord, what is happening here? You know, Lord. Now it starts a completely new conversation. It's no longer about the fact that I stepped out, I took that risk, that thing didn't happen, and I leave it there. I go back to God. Lord, what am I missing here? Your word says A, B, and C. What is it, Lord, that I'm missing? Because I know it's not you, it's me. And I have this conversation with God, and he matures me, and he grows me, and he does all these things, and then he says, that's your assignment. How many assignments are actually locked up in you taking a risk for God? It's a partnership. God could have chosen to do this without us, but he didn't. The intimacy of partnership. I realize that these two sides of the coin are so powerful for me. I've been chewing on them for probably the last 2 years. Well, at least the one. The other one just caught me off guard now while I was preparing for you guys. Thank you, guys. Now you've completed my other side of the coin. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the intimacy of partnership. It's about relationship. It's about fellowship, oneness with God. But before you are begging God for a desire for the nations and a heart for the lost, does he have your heart? And that's not to condemn you and to, you know, make you feel like I'm getting this wrong. This is now the order and this, that's not the point. The point is, does he have your heart? First, the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirits that we are sons and daughters. So the witness happens in you first. Before we can go around witnessing to everyone else, has he witnessed in your heart that, Siko, you are mine? That's the intimacy of partnership. That's where it starts. Consecration comes before witnessing. Otherwise, he's just making slaves. And that's my desire, that you would catch his heart for intimacy in partnership. That it's not just about the activity in the workplace or you reaching out to this person. It's about you doing it in him and through him. The most effective way that you can minister is actually from the perfect love of God. I've been on both ends. I don't know about you guys, where I've just done it because I can and because I have to and because I, but that wasn't half as enriching and fulfilling and as life-giving and as effective as me witnessing from the fullness and the perfect love of God. The word speaks about how we are to raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons, all these things freely we give because we have freely received. It's out of that fullness that we begin to pursue a partnership with God. And I know because our minds are wired to find the road of least resistance, right? And right now, the road of least resistance is telling you, oh, I don't think I've grabbed a hold fully of that perfect love and that fullness. Maybe I need to park here for another few years and get this right. So that's not what I'm saying, y'all. Right now, disclaimer, we grow as we go. You don't have to wait to be perfect or to experience this sweet place and intimacy of partnership to be able to get things done. Trust me, I've seen the sick healed even when I wasn't in this place of intimate fellowship. God is gracious. His mercy is more. The intimacy of partnership. The other side of the coin is our agency in partnership. So agency now, the Lord speaking to me, it's really more about this free will. It's about this inherent reality that each individual has a power and ability to actually choose between different things. That God, in his wisdom, has given us this gift of free will. Agency is more about governance. It's about your ability to actually take responsibility for your actions. Which is why God requires your will. God chooses to partner his power and his presence with our small acts of obedience. How crazy is that? His power and his presence, his anointing, he packages that into our small acts of obedience. Which is why your will is so important. That even Jesus could not run away from the act of having to ultimately surrender his will. Not my will, but your will, Father. Not my will. I acknowledge that in this moment that my will is different from yours, but not my will, but your will. This is the harder part, guys, of my message. Excuse me. I had a moment. You know, when God gives us eyes to see things for what they really are, you can't unsee it. So I want to start this part like this. How many of us wake up and go to work every morning, every day, and we just do what we need to do to try and be a good employee? I would be concerned if you don't do that. Just Jay, from a normal, let's not even think spiritual level, normal Jay, like let's put our hands up. We want to be good and effective employees, hallelujah. But in order to achieve that, how many of us wake up every day, go to work, try to be a good employee, but are constantly disobeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit in the process? When he says, go to that person, speak to that person, share this word. How many of us wake up every morning, we try to be a good employee, and we're disobeying and hardening our hearts towards the word of God that says, preach the gospel. Our disobedience, guys, in this area has become so normal. When I heard the Lord speak to me about that, I almost passed out. Our disobedience in this area has become so normal. We do not actually even recognize it as disobedience. Because I'm just getting up, I'm going to work, I'm just being a good employee. Meanwhile, the whole day, you're ignoring the Holy Spirit when he's telling you to do something. Meanwhile, the whole day, you're disobeying the word of God that says, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. And what makes it worse is that this is not a challenge at an individual level. It's a systemic challenge. It has become so normal that it's just the way it is. It pained me when the Lord said to me, Siko, a whole segment of the body of Christ, Christ's disciples in the marketplace, are living in perpetual disobedience. It reminded me of the Israelites. A whole people group just waking up every day doing what was right in their own eyes because that's just the way it was. unending, everyday, unchanging disobedience. You wake up, you do the same thing every day, every morning, and it's okay. No one gets to question you because you're working. The word speaks about these Israelites in the book of Judges, and it says that in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And I get a sense that for many of us, Jesus is still not Lord in this area of our lives. Daily, we wake up, we go to work doing what we think we need to do. Disobedience, guys, is refusing to follow God's instruction. Disobedience is sin. But what has happened because of this systemized way of doing things, we have normalized it. We have systemized this disobedience and we have structuralized it. Literally, our workplaces are actually wired against the workplace, even by the Christians themselves. Because if they start untangling that wiring, that means that they would have to step up to the plate and take responsibility to live out their kingdom, the kingdom of God in the workplace. So now you get my predicament, guys, why I was crying day in, day out for the last while. And I was crying out, Lord, show us your mercy. As your people, we need your mercy. As your church, we need your mercy. As marketplace ministers, God, we need your mercy. I need your mercy. Because the stories I won't tell you are the times when God has prompted me to do something or say something and I haven't done it. I was so convicted. There was one lady, I mean, it was easy for me to pray for the sick and do this with my new job, but there was a lady I had to have a conversation with her. And I literally, like, I paused it until this week, when it was burning so much in my heart because God was checking me. Siko, it's disobedience. You go to work, you see her, and you know you've got a word for her. And you just run around doing other things. God, you only know I've got a day and a half in this organization in the week. I need to pack everything that I can, do as much as I can. Guys, that's no excuse. God, check me. It's disobedience, Siko. So the things and the stories that I don't tell you are more than I can recount, guys. So when we stand here and we share these amazing testimonies of people getting healed, people getting saved, all of these things, there's that side of the story. And I say, God, I need your mercy. I need your mercy. That's why I say I will never be the same again, because when God shows you something, you can't unsee it. If you love me, Siko, now I'm talking to myself, maybe you guys are fine. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. The true test of our love for him is laying down our agency. It's laying down and surrendering our will. It's giving him back the right to choose for us, obeying him no matter what the cost. for me in the last 2.5 years or so, I've realized there's a place in intimacy where you have to lay down your will. No, God, I know you're saying I must go speak to this person, I must go minister to this person at work, but I don't feel like it. God checked me this week, guys. Siko, you emotionalize our relationship way too much. We don't do things based on what we feel here. And the challenge is, guys, I bring my emotions. I'm not the type of person that says, leave your emotions at the door. I bring them. So sometimes I must say it makes sense that it's a bit easy for me to make everything emotional. I don't feel like it, Jesus. No, Lord, I can't do it because that's not how things are done here in this workplace. Do you know how I'll be judged or how people will think I'm weird and all these things? No, God, I can't do it because people will think I'm weird. Guys, that's why we need to reconcile the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to reconcile it. He is our helper and he helps us do hard things. That's why we need his help. He helps us to get outside of our comfort zones. That's why we need his help. Because of him, we have the power to obey God. My challenge to myself over the last while, I've been saying, God, let me posture my heart to obey you at all times. I.e., my yes is yes even before you have asked. Even before you have asked me to do something, I have postured my heart to say yes to you no matter what that thing is. And I'm like, God, if I can get this right, oh, so help me, God. And I know, oh, guys, don't be party poopers. I'm already hearing you guys like, no, you won't always get it right. That's not the point. Lord, help me posture my heart in that way. So I don't know what changes you need to make in your life concerning how you approach ministry in the marketplace. I don't know what steps you need to take next. But what I do know is that you and I cannot stay the same. What I do know is that things around us, especially in the marketplace, cannot stay the same. Let God say he has a people in the marketplace. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest garden plant and it becomes a tree so that birds can come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of God starts small, guys, and it grows. That's why we grow as we go. It advances little by little with our every step of obedience. So this means for us, we can be encouraged that our small steps of obedience are expanding the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom principle laid out in the Bible of how the kingdom grows. So if you are trying to do things, these massive things for God, start with a mustard seed. by obeying the convictions of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your heart. Start obeying those promptings. Start doing the small things right. His mercy is more. I'm on assignment today to tell you that His mercy is more. And He's releasing His mercy over us through this marching march series. He's releasing His mercy. His mercy is the act of divine forbearance in showing us compassion and passing over our sins. His mercy is more. He's patient with us. He's patient with our lack of obedience. He is patient, but His mercy and His kindness leads us to repentance. Our workplaces are in darkness because there's a lack of partnership between God and man in that space. And mankind is the reason, but His mercy is more. But You, O Lord, are full of compassion, gracious and long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. That's Psalm 86. Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Though the Lord's mercies are not consumed, because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Have mercy on us, God. The cry is to partner with His mercy this morning. It's not always for more boldness and more of Your Spirit. It's mercy first. Lord, the right response is, I repent. I'm sorry, Dad. I haven't been doing it the right way. I'm sorry, I've been ignoring You. I've been ignoring Your word. I'm sorry. Have mercy on us, God, for disobeying and constantly straying. For disobeying by omission or by commission. Have mercy. For discounting ourselves when it comes to co-laboring with You. Have mercy, God, for treating Your great commission as optional, as something that I can either decide to do or not do. Have mercy, Jesus, for hardening my heart to Your voice when it leads me to the secret place. How much more when You lead me to others? Have mercy, Jesus. For not honoring Your lordship in our lives. There was no king in that day in Israel. So the Israelites did what was wrong in their own eyes. We need to get the lordship issue right. We need to get the partnership issue right. Have mercy, Jesus. I never started off wanting to do elaborate miracles or do A, B, and C. When I started ministering in the workplace, I never was after anything in the fivefold or do this. Now, oh Lord, You're raising an evangelist and this and that or a pastor, whatever. I just wanted to release the love and the goodness of God. I wanted to release the presence and the power of God to those around me. Because what was inside of me started to want to find expression outside of me. Because if I believe that you are a healer, God, surely there are many people that need healing. And that's how it becomes a lifestyle. Have mercy on us, God, for the times where we have disobeyed, knowing full well what your desire and your expectation and your instruction to us is. Whether in the marketplace, in our families, in our studies, have mercy on us. I love Pastor Debbie when he said, we need to pray. We need to pray for our work environments. How much time do I have? I'm wrapping up. Yes, we need to pray. Hallelujah. I'm wrapping up then. Thank you. I remember God saying to me at a previous workplace, Seiko, I know you don't want to be here. It's given me 2 years to be there. I said, God, I don't want to be here. Both you and I know that. Then it's fine. Seiko, you've got 2 years to be here. After 2 years, I'll release you. He did exactly that. 2 years later, exact month. He said that, but what I need you to start doing now is pray. I used to walk around that place, walking around the buildings, praying. And what started off as this amazing liberal workplace, this place is so cool, everyone's so free here, I started to see the bondage. What started off as this amazing place where everyone has such a voice, I started to see the insecurity. You start to see things the way God actually sees them. Not the way they come across in the flesh. And that's how God unlocked the supernatural in my life. I would go and I would anoint and do all these things while everyone is gone. And I would start to see things the way God saw them. And now he says, okay, you've got my heart, let's move. And the supernatural exploded in my life like never before. So you need to pray. Don't just occupy spaces in the flesh. Occupy spaces with your spirit man. Amen? So let's get up, guys. Let's pray quickly and close this sermon. Father, we thank you. For just the revelation of your love and your mercy this morning, God, that it's the thing that propels us forward, Lord. That there's no fear, there's no shame, there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. But Lord, there is a desire, Lord, to align ourselves to that which you are doing in and through us, Lord. Let us not stay the same, Dad. Let us see things the way you see them. Help us to be effective ministers and partakers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that your mercies are new every morning. That, Holy Spirit, you help us to do hard things, and you help us to try new things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
preached. It preached to its end. Thank you, Siko. We really appreciate you and your zeal. You know how to make us white people uncomfortable. We love you for that.
Hallelujah.
May we have boldness to witness to Jesus in our workplace. Guys, I need you guys to get out of the room ASAP. Our next service should have started. They set up. But please grab a coffee. You can do whatever you need to do just outside here. And I hope you have a fantastic week. Bless you. Bye-bye.